thinking of No Worry, we have this amazing caller on the line, Karen Hartley, who is a counsellor and a psychotherapist, and she's had over 10 years experience specialising in anxiety and stress, a passionate advocate for good mental well-being. Karen provides clients with tools and techniques to help them live their best life. She runs her own practice, continuing striving to help others and navigate life's complexity. Self-care for Karen equals traveling, reading, trying out new restaurants and meeting new people. There's a lot to talk about anxiety and the fears at the moment, and I can provide tips and coping strategies for the up and coming week. So let's say hello to Karen. Hello.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm fine, Karen. How are you?
I mean, it's so interesting when you, even when you read my bio, you know, I think you touched on Karen likes to go to restaurants and meeting new people.
Yeah.
At the moment, that's not possible.
Let's keep it.
When you're creative.
When I said the restaurant, my eye was like, mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
But you know what, Karen, it's great to have you on here with your expertise, because it's definitely something that myself, I find, I don't know if this is normal, but I found even yesterday, 1 minute I was like, oh, you know, this is pandemic thing. It's all right. And then I was like, oh my God, I've forgotten a flour. If it comes to the stage where I just need to make dumpling. And then I was back. And then I had to speak to someone. Is this a form of anxiety? How do we deal with this?
I mean, it's a good thing, because I wanted to actually touch on anxiety and what it looks like. And, you know, you can have different waves throughout the day, especially in the current climate that we're in. And there's constant updates left, right and centre. So there's going to be varying emotions. But I think when people think about anxiety, they think the main focus is worried. When someone's anxious, they're just worried all the time. Mm. And it encompasses lots of different things. It can look, I mean, different behaviour types are obsessive behaviours, maybe overindulging in the wrong foods or the wrong activities, sleepiness, lack of concentration. And one of the biggest ones for me, I think, especially in the times when schools are closing, everyone's going to be in the house together for long periods of time.
Yes.
Irritability. Irritability is a really big sign of anxiety.
Irritability. So, could you explain that a little bit more in depth?
What in terms of, well, I guess even if we just look at the example of schools are closing down, parents are now going to have to potentially work from home and school their children.
Yeah.
And let's keep it real. I don't know the state of everybody's marriage, but we also might have a husband at home, and going to work might be a nice reprieve.
Yes.
But now I'm in the house 24/7. So just tensions are really high. Let's say you didn't have enough sleep the night before. You might have been worrying about this, you know, the coronavirus. You've had a good meal. So combat that with kids running up and down. You know, it's just everyone's heightened. The emotions are heightened as it is. So it's going to just, anxiety is going to manifest in different ways. So we're going to be more irritable. I think everyone's going to be really at a high at the moment. So just being mindful of that, and just being mindful of what it looks like. And also being mindful of your triggers. So as I said, if you haven't had enough sleep, the kids are running around, you might have to go and sit in the bathroom on the toilet. It's not great, but if it means I just have a bit of a reprieve, or I go and stand in the garden for 2 minutes, count to 10, breathe, woosah, go back to homeschooling, you know?
And I think that's the thing, because everyone said, oh, the schools are going to be closed. But actually, even when you just said it, it dawned on me like, oh my gosh, the kids are going to be home. I'm going to have to teach them. That didn't even come in my head. I was just thinking about the food I'm going to have to cook, the mess I'm going to have to constantly be cleaning up. I didn't think about that I'm going to have to now be providing them with their educational needs for the next how many weeks. What would you say, you know, how do we figure out what our triggers are?
I guess it's different for everyone. So especially this week, I'm starting to see the real reality of how anxious people are being, especially some of my clients. So for some that are really anxious already, I'm talking about limiting maybe how much news you're watching, how much social media you're taking in, even limiting your WhatsApp groups, because I know how my WhatsApp groups are, and people are bombarding me, and it's got to points like, guys, I love you, but can you just stop sending me all this?
Because
it's overwhelming.
It's too overwhelming.
So I guess even that could be a trigger for someone, you know? So, yeah, just being mindful of how am I reacting to certain things? What responses am I giving?
So to notice triggers is to look at how you're reacting to certain information and how you're responding. Right, okay.
I guess More so, yeah, how am I responding? Yeah, how am I responding to this? You know, is my behavior a bit off kilter? As I said, even with the irritability, am I a bit more ratty than normal? Would I normally respond like this, you know, in a normal situation? So,
I find for me, I'm somebody that I can be fine. Like, I could hear something, you know, something could upset me, and I'll be like, okay, I've heard it, I'm fine. Okay, that's fine. Or if I could have an argument with somebody, I'll be like, I'm fine. And then it's the second day that I'll be like, you said what? Like, so I know for me, I'm someone now, when I take in information, if I'm not sure, instead of just reacting at that time or waiting 2 days where it will fester, I might not sleep properly, I will end up saying to somebody, you know what, let me process this and then I'll get back to you. And there's nothing wrong with that to just try and process it, take your time and come back. So I think I've tried to figure out what my triggers are, but hearing what you said about look at how you react and how you respond to certain information or behavior from others will show you what possibly could be your triggers. Now, what is the signs that you may be actually suffering from maybe anxiety or that something is really getting to you? What would you say are those signs?
I mean, we have the extreme end of the spectrum where people might have panic attacks, you know. But as I touched on earlier, it could be things of I'm not sleeping well. These negative thoughts are constantly in my mind. They're constantly enumerating in my head. Even when I try to distract myself, I keep coming back to this negative voice just keeps popping up. As I said, you might be someone that on a day to day generally eats quite well, but over the last few days I've just more inclined to just want, you know, rubbish fatty food, and I just feeling really blah. Or normally you even could be something as simple as just being avoidant, not wanting to talk to people and just withdrawing.
Yeah.
You know, that can be another sign of anxiety. So it just manifests in different ways in different people.
And so. I think as well, especially that we have all of this social media and all these different ways to connect with people, I think it's so easy to not realise when someone is avoiding or if someone is starting to become a little bit reclusive, because you're so busy involved in so much WhatsApp groups and things coming through that it can be missed, and it's easy for someone to say, oh, I was just busy. And it's really important for us to check on people, especially in these times where we could possibly isolate it. How important is it, would you say, that social interaction is on our day-to-day life?
I mean, in this current climate now, it's imperative. You know, I'm really wondering about people's mental health, especially when we're going into, there's more social isolation, there's talks of a potential lockdown, you know, there's people that live by themselves that don't have day-to-day interaction. I mean, I live by myself, and normally on a day-to-day, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. If I want to call someone, I will, if I want to chill. But when that choice is taken away from me, it's a different dynamic. It's a totally different ballgame. So it's really important. And I've also been saying to clients, now more than ever, we need to be adaptable. So
adaptable.
My family live at home. So I'm going to call my nan. She loves Holby City. We're going to do a little FaceTime, and I'm going to watch Holby City with her. I don't really care for Holby City, but just to interact and spend some time with her, you know, just to do those things, whether it be, yeah, just kind of building up conversations, talk. Because even now, Judy, I'm like, actually, I'm talking to people more now than ever before.
Do you know what, Karen? It is so true, because yesterday I was in Sainsbury's, and this guy, everybody was just like overwhelmed with the fact that there was nothing in Sainsbury's. And this guy, we just started talking. He, you know, he was an older guy, a different background to me culturally. And we just ended up chatting, and then someone else joined in. There was like just like four of us chatting and laughing. And then we just stopped and said, how strange is this? It's sad it is regards to coronavirus. We're standing here, all four of us from different backgrounds, different walk of lives, having a conversation. It's a shame that something like this at times brings us together. You know, in the sense of ideas that you're saying, like doing the video calls, whatever coping mechanisms would you advise in times where we could be isolated or feeling really distressed?
Yeah, so we kind of touched on upping the ante on social interaction, because the main thing is I try to encourage people to get out of their head, because when you're in your head, you're constantly renumerating on the same thought pattern. So whether it be journaling, writing things down, you know, journal, write your thoughts down. That's really, really helpful. It just helps it get out of your head and it makes it less daunting. Mm-hmm. My go-to for people all the time is, some people say worry time. I say a worry chair. I just take it up on it at another level. So you find an area in the house, a chair, and you give yourself an allocated time to worry, whether it be 10, 50, if you want to give yourself a half an hour, that's on you. But when the time is up, you remove yourself from the chair and you find something to do, whether it be putting on music, you read a book. But that is your allocated time to worry. When the time is over, you find something else to do.
And regards to stopping those thoughts, those negative thoughts, what things can we put in place when we're finding that it is becoming too much? We're going to sleep. People, I had a gentleman earlier called and said he's not sleeping. You know, I'm here now with you, but apart when the music's playing, I was thinking, I need to get to Tesco's, I need to get to Tesco's. And then I'm hearing from everybody, oh, the supermarkets are changing. They're not 24 hours now. They close at 10 o'clock. And it's that continuous. How do we get to a stage where we can try and fight against being bombarded by those negative thoughts?
I think the journaling, the writing down things is really helpful. Mindfulness, so even be breathing exercises, because taking your focus on the thoughts. So we're trying to find things that's going to take your focus off these negative thoughts. So when you're focusing on your breathing, it's a bit of distraction. So basically, the kind of distraction techniques, okay, it might be 1 o'clock at night and you can't sleep, so you're not really going to call a friend at that time. But whether it be put some music on, you read a book. You have to just really start tapping into what helps for you, whether it be a herbal drink. And also, Judy, I think it's try not to be too hard on yourself. Be kind to yourself, because the reality is we are all going to be anxious at this moment in time. So I don't want people to beat themselves up and put this pressure on. I shouldn't be feeling this way. No, now's the time when everyone's kind of in the same boat. Now's the time when you can hopefully be even more vocal and open about how you're feeling with people and get that support in place.
Most definitely. And I think the things that you said, you know, that stuck out in my head, for those who have just joined in, we're listening to Karen Hartley, who is a counsellor and a psychotherapist. And she is passionate about advocating for good mental well-being and provides clients with tools and techniques to help them live their best life. And she runs her own practice and continues striving to navigate life's complexities. And are we going through one of those complexities now? And some of the things that Karen has touched on as strategies to use in this time is to find out how your triggers are, look how you react and respond to certain information. Like you were saying, Karen, it could be a WhatsApp that we get. It could be a news response. If you are finding that, you know, you can be quite impulsive, or it's making your heart, you know, beat fast, or you get quite anxious, know that these are your triggers. Another thing that you said that I think was great is learning to be adaptable. Could you just extend on that process of being adaptable?
I can't even use kind of the work we're doing as therapists, and obviously we normally have face-to-face, but we're now veering to online sessions. And for some clients it's like, well, actually getting out of the home environment and coming to that space, that room, is really helpful for me. I actually don't have the privacy at home. The reality is some people at home don't even know I'm having therapy. So now it's like, okay, we need to get adaptable for this. So although it might not be great, if it means you have to sit in your car, if this is going to help you in the time being, even things for me, myself, Judy, I love the gym. The gym is my go-to. It helps me.
I need to talk to you after, Karen. I need my own session, please.
Stop me. So ideally, I'd go to the gym, do all my little bits. You know, the reality is the gyms are going to be probably shutting down. So it's like, well, Karen, you're going to have to do some stuff at home. You might not like it, but if this is what's going to help your mental well-being, then you're going to have to adapt and become flexible. So, you know, I was even thinking today, like, okay, some people might have their favorite Italian restaurant that they want to do. Restaurants are closed down. The reality is it's a real struggle to get pasta at the moment. So you might have to use zucchini carrots as a pasta base.
I understand about adapting to what is accessible to you at that time and changing. And then you said also get out of your head. And that might
that's
mean,
the biggest thing.
You know, can you extend on that?
Well, I mean, it can be easier said than done, especially if this is a behavior that is our go-to. But I think just really try to focus on what you can control, because oftentimes when we're in the head, we're focusing so much on this is what's happening, the worst case scenario. So just try to catch yourself in that moment. Okay, I'm aware this is what I'm doing, but actually, what can I control? What are the statistics? Not what are what's doing the rounds but, on WhatsApp or what are the statistics? What is the likelihood? You know, what are the statistics of people dying? Yes, it's heavy, it's doom and gloom, but yeah, try and focus on what you can control
right now.
As I said, I say it all the time, I think people underestimate it, but I keep going back to journaling, just journaling. Writing.
I was getting to that bit because we had find your own worrying space. So you can allocate a minute, 2 minutes, three minutes to a chair or a place that you have. But I think it would be really important to have that, like you were saying, have that allocated space where you allow yourself to sit and worry for a minute, but also have the other space where you can go and be still and get away. And then you also said journaling and taking the focus of the negative thoughts and find a distraction. For me, it's music. The other thing you said is be kind to yourself, and that is so important because it's self-care. But one of the things I do want you to talk about, we've only got like a minute or less than a minute, is mindfulness. You said mindfulness.
So, I mean,
we've got like 20 seconds.
Mindfulness, basically just breathing and maybe just having an awareness of your senses, as your body, my feet touching the floor or my hand, just being, you know, being mindful of your body and how it feels in the moment. Be mindful of your breathing. Again, this is a distraction technique, so I haven't got time to focus on all this that's going on because I'm focusing on my breathing. I'm focusing on how my body feels in the chair, how heavy it is, you know, those kind of things.
So, lovely. Yeah. You know, thank you so much for the information that you have given us. As I said, someone texting saying that this information is so useful. Thank you, Karen and BBC Radio London, Judy, and your producer. Please, can you let people know, you know, where they can get in contact? Well, not get in contact with you, but, you know, your practice and so on.
Yeah. So website details are karenhartley.co.uk. You can find me on Instagram because I'm going to be doing more lives now just to kind of help support people.
You know this girl.
You know, we need this community spirit right now. So my Instagram handle, which I never remember, is therapy_heals. So find me there. Come and join in Instagram lives. I'll be doing more sessions like this. So yeah.
Did you say heels? Heels is in H-E-E-L, yeah? Heels.
Yeah.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, not heels, shoes.
Oh,
yeah.
But
heels the body.
Oh, yeah. okay. Because I was like, oh, okay, the shoes. Well, you know what, Karen? Can I just say thank you so much and look forward to speaking to you again soon. That was Karen Hartley, who is a counsellor and psychotherapist. And she's given us some amazing tips. And you know what, guys? Yes, it is. For some scary times, but we hope that BBC has been giving you more factual information and supporting you through this, and know that we are here to discuss all the things that are on your mind regarding coronavirus and any other thing that is affecting you. Please keep safe, please look after yourself, and know that the BBC, myself, are here for you, and we're listening to all that you're going through. My Monday motivation was emotional intelligence. Make sure you understand your emotions. Make sure you know why you're acting to certain things in certain ways so that you can continue having positive relationships, so you know when things are harmful and you can move on, and just love yourself and have self-care. You listen to me, the one and only... Oh, that was loud. One and only Judy Love. So emotional intelligence is important. But I'm going to see you here next week, but we're going to have up next is Duncan Barks.
You make me happy. This you can bear. I won't forget.
Diana, singing and dancing all in the rain. Ooh, I just wanna have a good time. Turn around, kick inside. And twirl yourself to the right now. Ooh, bunny hop, drop, pop. Cross your legs, turn around and clap. Shuffle to the left, let's glide now. Ooh, drop it down low, low. Bring it up, Captain Roll. Step on them, step on them, step on them, step. Step on them, kick on them, stomp in your step. Swag the right, surf the left. Work the middle till it hurt a little.